Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us today on another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you once again that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to his disciples. The word there, disciples indeed, literally means true disciples, real disciples, sincere disciples. And if you continue in my word, that's the word of God, Jesus is saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, truth cannot free just with your truth, my truth, someone else's truth. It's the truth of the word of God. It's the fundamental foundation of all truth. And so Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth, speaking of the word of God. So when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I find it a little antithetical to anything that will be considered truth when individuals have their own individual truth and not basing the truth on what does the Scripture say. The word of God gives us the first foremost foundation of truth. And as we look at the word of God, I suggest that we use it as the direction for our facts in making a determination as to how we handle issues in our lives. As we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist viewpoint. What does the word of God say? Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you can join in this dialogue and discussion today by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413. Get your telephone call directly into the studios right to our microphones so that we can have your input, your discussion. This broadcast is designed around a program that will allow you to participate as our listener. Participate in what's said on this broadcast. 401-1413 is that telephone number if you'd like to join in this discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about, by way of a question, is national gun control coming? Is national gun control coming? And we're going to discuss that a little in detail today after a brief monologue, but let me just simply say this. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a very complex society. We live in a day where there is a push to pass laws and approve more and more bills through different houses, through the national, state, and local governments that allow the barbarian slaughter of multitudes, if not millions, of lives in the mother's womb. This is called abortion, ladies and gentlemen. Just recently, we watched in horror the barbaric murder by way of abortion law that was passed in New York State. New York law allows murder of babies, human beings, in the mother's womb, and it includes not only up until birth, but even after birth, the barbaric law of infanticide, allowing the mother and the physician to determine if that child is worthy of life. Then we, ladies and gentlemen, disagree. Perhaps some have watched and some agree and some disagree, but somehow the governor in Virginia, we now disregard his statements of what he had said. He is a licensed pediatrician, by the way. Yep, you heard it right. He is a child's doctor, a physician for children. And as he calmly explained that even when a baby is born, the child would be placed on a table to be kept comfortable until it dies, if the mother and her physician agree that they do not want that child. And now several other states are rushing to pass the same type murder by way of abortion bills. And while the race is on to murder by way of abortion, the ban guns advocates across America are rushing to the legislative branches of their particular areas, trying to pass legislation to outlaw guns, to ban guns, or in some way to infringe the Second Amendment right. Ladies and gentlemen, we find there are those that in every way possible want to infringe upon or out and out ban our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms. Here's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of why arms are so needed. I find it refreshing when we find an individual that knows how to protect themselves. Here's an article that says, an armed 75-year-old Georgia woman fends, that's F-E-N-D-S, fends off a 20-year-old home invader. And it shows the picture of her home, and she's making the call to 911, and she's saying, please hurry. Lord, have mercy. And this article begins by saying, we've quoted it before and we'll quote it again. Quote, God created men and Sam Colt made them equal, end quote, talking about the Colt weapon. That's a statement that's so evident that it shouldn't need any explanation. But if you're having trouble grasping it, and we know plenty of anti-gun readers who weren't sure of what we're saying or will scoff at it, let's look at the example of the 79-year-old woman in Jackson County, Georgia. That's the introduction to this article. The woman was at home about a week ago when a 20-year-old male broke into her home. That's not what anyone would consider a fair fight by any stretch of the imagination. It was just after noon on February the 12th when the woman called 911 and shot at a 20-year-old suspect twice. While she was still on the phone with 911, she was able to fend him off until deputies arrived to arrest him. She stayed on the line with 911 operator for nearly 10 minutes. The woman and her pistol took control of the home invasion while she gave 911 dispatchers a play-by-play of the 20-year-old man who she said was making a racket ransacking another part of her house. The woman was shooting at the man in the man's direction, of course not trying to hit him, she said, explaining to her daughter later she just wanted to keep him away from her. The article says he finally tried to hide in an upstairs closet, now afraid of her. County law enforcement officers finally arrived and rescued the cowering burglar. Quote, she didn't allow herself to become a victim, the woman's daughter said Tuesday. My mother's a very strong woman. The article concludes by saying her gun was the only reason she was able to keep the odds even and keep the man who'd broken into her home from doing God only knows what to her. How else would a little old lady have stood a chance against a younger and much stronger attacker? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good example of why God has given us the Second Amendment right. When I say God has given us, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that the right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense, what is called in the state of Florida the Castle Doctrine, is codified in the Scripture. In fact, I could recite to you, as I have had the privilege of researching, writing, and publishing a book on the subject. The book is not a major dissertation. It's the Doctrine of Self-Defense, the right to keep and bear arms. It's not but about 65 pages in breadth and depth. But God gave us the right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense. In fact, I could recite to you page after page after page in the book and or refer to you in the Scripture. But a good example is in the book, a little book of Esther, the 9th and 10th chapter in particular, where Haman had orchestrated a way to have all the Jews put to death. He had gotten the king to sign a decree. The decree had gone out to all 127 provinces of that day. And it said on a certain day at a certain time to slay all the Jews. When it was discovered that that was a fraud perpetrated on the king because Queen Esther and her uncle Mordecai had made it known, the king issued a new decree. It was sent out by horseback to all 127 provinces. And it literally said, when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that's not an absolute factual evidence of the biblical doctrine of self-defense, nothing is. And yet that is in the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples, if you got two garments, sell one and buy a sword. And yet there are those who say, well, you know, we're supposed to be pacifists. We're not supposed to do anything to defend ourselves. Someone said on a recent occasion, you know, it's all right to believe in God, and that's good, and we should. And I agree with the person, I believe in God and Glock. And that's the way it ought to be if we recognize the society in which we're living in. In fact, George Washington said, firearms are the second only to the Constitution in importance. They are the people's liberty teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, socialist Democrats are determined today to disarm Americans. They are determined to take away the right to keep and bear arms. Here's an article that says gun control. Representative David Cicilline, Democrat of Rhode Island, first order of business if Democrats win the majority, and they did. This was prior to the election. Gun control, he said. There's tremendous consensus within the Democratic caucus that we should move forward on a number of common sense gun safety proposals, he said. There are dozens of bills pending in the Congress introduced by Democrats that range from improving the background check system to banning bump stocks to an assault weapons ban to better measures to prevent people with serious mental illness accessing firearms, end quote. Further, the article says several House members agreed, including Representative Jay Salawaski, Democrat of Illinois, quote, there is a new element now after the Parkland situation, referring to the Parkland, Florida shooting. It is important now to talk about and hopefully pass a ban on weapons of war, on all types of assault weapons. No question that it will be on the agenda, she added. It's ready to go, Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat in Maryland, agreed, insisting that gun control would be really obvious thing to start with when the Democrats are in charge. And ladies and gentlemen, they are in charge, and they are on the fast track with several, in fact, may I say, over a dozen different bills that in some fashion will infringe upon your right and my right to keep and bear arms. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the right to keep and bear arms did not originate in our Constitution. Self-defense originated in the Word of God, codified in the Scripture, confirmed by the courts, and to be carried out by we, the citizens of the United States of America. It is our right, and we ought not to allow any representative, any senator, anyone that's in the position of law-making to make the determination of whether or not we can defend ourselves. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. Really what you're talking about pertains directly to Christians. We say we follow the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. The reality is we do not follow the Lord. If we did follow the Lord as we should, by knowing his word, we wouldn't be sheep subject to the leadership of what's pulling us around by the nose. Let me kind of briefly say what I'm trying to say here. What you are saying on your program is evil is descending on this nation, and we don't get it. We don't pick it up. We don't stand up against it. Christians are called to stand against every appearance of evil. It's not wait a few months or wait a few years till the particular regime changes and then we're going to do something. We confront it when we see it, because as stewards of righteousness in this world, which is what we are as believers, we must act. The first thing we don't understand is 1 John 5:19. It says very clearly, we're of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. If the average Christian really understood the evil that's present in this city or this nation or the state, we wouldn't be as passive as we are and preoccupied with football and all the other entertainment things that we have. Here's what we need to do. Whenever we have someone that comes to a city, let's say, and decides they want to be our mayor, we prepare a list of questions, and those questions are things like, what city did he come from? What city, let's say it was like Miami or Las Vegas. We all know that the mafia runs those cities. So we'd immediately be suspicious why this man would be coming from a corrupt location like that. We ask what his job was, and if his job has something that interfaces well with agencies like that, we would say, well, that raises my suspicions. We'd look at the money behind him. But the other thing is we prepare a list of associations. Who are the people surrounding him? Who are the people he's been with in the past? And if these are people that easily can be shown to be against the word of God, unrighteous, unprincipled people, then that man should be stained by those associations that he has. And if we support a person like that, then we are complicit in being sheep that are empowering evil. And I think you know where I'm going. I think that's what is happening not only here, but has happened in America. By God's grace, we have a president now that is attempting with tremendous demonic resistance to drain the swamp. But we in Jacksonville have people presenting themselves as leaders that are related and connected in all sorts of ways that we don't realize because we've never made that list of questions, never made that list of associations, so that they will be self-revealing for the evil that they are. But we need to remember that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Jesus didn't have one good thing to say about the scribes and Pharisees because they grew to that high, powerful position of leading the Jewish people. The real work of righteousness is done at the grassroots level. And so it's Christian people that are going to have to stand up, make that list of questions. Where did this person come from? What were his list of previous associations? To begin to emerge the picture that says, this man is associated with evil, or this woman is associated with evil, and we must stand against him regardless of the cost to us. What you're saying this morning is evil. It's descending on our culture. You and I and a lot of other people know that it's here. It's right here, even in this city. And we better know the Word of God first and foremost. We better be on our knees praying. We better have an association of good people around us. That would be a church fellowship. We're not going to be able to do what we need to do. Yea, even we may not be able to survive if we don't get together and do it. We need a list of questions. We need a list of associations. We need to remember that we're of God, but the whole world truly does lie under the sway of the evil one. Thank you for the chance to say that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that call and for those comments. It is so apropos with where I'm going and what we're saying this morning. You made mention of that, keeping a list of and asking the questions of the candidates that we're looking at, especially coming up in the primary on March the 19th, and ask the question. The question ought to be asked in particular in the subject today. Where do you stand on the right to keep and bear arms? We do know, and I've got an article here that says, the false narrative closed the gun show loopholes. Efforts were started in Jacksonville by the Women's March and the Mothers Demand Action. And about a month ago, these two socialist fronts went dark, handing over the task to their compatriots, Northside Coalition. The gun control plan is absolutely what is being pushed here in Duval County. And Anna Broche and others were the ones that instituted and integrated that into the dialogue and discussion in city council. They talk about closing the loopholes at the gun shows. Ladies and gentlemen, what they're literally saying is that they won't, if you're going to sell your weapon and you're going to sell it to grandma, grandfather, give it to your brother or sister, you've got to get a background check on them. And if you don't before you sell your weapon to them, then you have broken the law. If these things pass, and this is not the only place, it's pushed here in Duval County, and we need to ask any leadership, anyone that's running for city council, anyone that's running for mayor, how do you stand on that? Will you stand with the constitutional oath that you take to defend our Constitution, i.e., especially to defend our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms? Very, 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 very well stated in our previous caller. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we are living in a dangerous society. In fact, we're living today in a darkened world. We're living today where the socialist Democrats are determined to disarm Americans. And let me say once again, as I've said on previous broadcasts, one of the precursors to a socialist takeover and a dictatorship takeover in any nation is to brainwash our students in the public universities, the public schools, the high schools, and on up, to brainwash them and to teach them that socialism is all right. And then on the heels of that, to ban all weapons so that there's no defense. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to the tyrant is to be obedient to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that there is a danger that's facing us in America today. These socialist Democrats insist that gun confiscation is not their goal, yet they are on the fast track to do that very same thing. In fact, as I said a moment ago, as we find in Jacksonville, Florida, there's an attempt here in our city to do so. In fact, here's an article starts out, bang, exclamation point. Dems introduce bill criminalizing private gun sales. And it further states here in this article. Gun control advocates Gabby Gifford attended a ceremony Tuesday in which House Speaker Nancy Pelosi introduced a bill that will criminalize all private gun sales. And if they can, ladies and gentlemen, if they can criminalize private gun sales, that means that you and I have had our Second Amendment right infringed upon. And that's what the Bill of Rights says, the Second Amendment, and it says it shall not be infringed upon. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says the state is being sued for suspending the Second Amendment rights for foster parents. Literally, the article talks about a Missouri case where there is a suit filed for injunctive relief for a family because they are foster parents, and the state decided that if you're a foster parent, you are barred from having a weapon in your home. The right to keep and bear arms is being foreclosed upon in state after state, city after city, across the nation, in incremental ways. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If we as Christians, if we as conservatives keep silent and allow this to take place, eventually the net will be drawn with enough gun bills and gun laws, and I'll read you some of them in a moment, where they will incrementally be passed across the nation. Then they will draw the net and bring it all together and confiscate every weapon. That has happened in every case where a dictator stands up, takes control of any nation over any people. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, yes. Please.
Yes, good morning. I agree with you wholeheartedly. However, I do like to ask thought-provoking questions. When Jim Elliott and Nate Saint and Roger Yudary and Pete Fleming and Ed McCauley were slain by the AUKUS in the early mid-50s, they fired above the natives' heads because they said they were fit for heaven and the natives weren't. Now, I have weapons. I have two sons in the military. One was in the 82nd Airborne Captain Signal Corps, and the other was an MP sergeant. And of course, we believe what you believe. However, what are your views on, you know, what occurred with Jim Elliott and Nate Saint and the other gentleman that I mentioned? I love the way you unravel things, so I'm listening with rapt attention.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that call. Let me respond to that call. It's a wonderful question. Jim Elliott, a wonderful missionary, a pilot over an area where they were literally heathens, non-Christians, those that had not heard the gospel. They were bringing the gospel to them. And that statement was very, very aptly stated. That's what Jim Elliott and his team said, because those that they would be shooting at, they shot over the heads because they said, they're lost, they will go to hell. In essence, we're saved, so we can risk our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely, if you please, admirable, but there's not any place in the scripture that mandates that that's what we ought to do. There's a pacifist mindset in that somewhat that says, I'm not going to respond in like manner. Ladies and gentlemen, I find that absolutely distasteful. I find it absolutely contradicting what the Word of God says, because the scripture is very, very clear. Keep in mind, God gave us the right to keep and bear arms. God gave it, not our Constitution. We have that because of godly forefathers, founding fathers, that put it in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights that we would have that right to keep and bear arms. Ladies and gentlemen, James Madison said, Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Sam Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms. Now, I couldn't state it any better than that. And going back to the fundamental question about Jim Elliott, that was his prerogative. He felt impressed, I'm sure, of the Lord to do that. His life was taken, and I am saddened, frankly, by his decision. I've read his biography. I'm concerned. I'm familiar with the account, but I still would not have taken that position. The end result was he died. His voice was silenced. He had no more opportunity to be the witness, to be the ambassador with the gospel, to be the missionary that God had called him to be. His life was shortened as a result of what I think was an ill-conceived decision to not allow or to allow them to take his life. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, New York town host, toy gun exchange for children. In a town in New York City held a buyback style event for the children in the area, asking them for their toy guns in exchange for different gifts so that they would not even have a toy gun. The article says, officials in the Long Island town of Hempstead invited children to exchange their imitation firearms for a safe alternative. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. We've gone to seed, and on the east coast and the left coast, the left and the right coast, if you will, they've gone absolutely nuts on gun control and the confiscation of weapons. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you count the number of people that die in shootings in America. Listen very carefully. Those that are criminal shooters, those that are law enforcement shooters, those that are self-inflicted shots that take a life, and you take those total, it would not total the number of babies that are being murdered in the womb or at birth as it stands now with infanticide, will not come up to the total of that just in, you could take the total number for a year of shootings, and it would not total the number of those that die by way of murder through abortion in a month's time or in 2 months period of time. And yet we're concerned about the weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, a gun never shoots anybody. It's the wicked trigger finger behind it. And if we pass all the laws in all the world to confiscate all the guns and to make all weapons illegal, the criminals will still have weapons and will still try to harm and destroy and take your life. Just as the article that I introduced early with the 79-year-old woman up in Georgia where she defended her property and defended her life. God only knows what would have happened if she had not had a weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, it is horrible to understand and to think even that foster parents would be criminalized by saying that they cannot have a weapon in the home. That is the infringement on the Second Amendment right. And that's bad enough, but ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that talks about a landlord that tells Harvard grad student that she needs to move out simply because she has a legally owned gun. The article says a Harvard University graduate student received a letter from her apartment landlord telling her to move out because of her legally owned guns. The article further says apparently the firearm made her roommate uncomfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, because the roommate was uncomfortable does not make it illegal for that student to have a weapon. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with the onslaught of the criminalization of citizens simply because we have the right to keep and bear arms. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an attempt to thwart the plan of God for citizens, mankind, to be able to defend himself. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear that we have that right to keep and bear arms. In fact, Samuel Adams, I don't know if I stated that or not, but the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own weapons. May I also say to you, if you are not familiar with it, George Mason said to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave any people. Now, these are coming from founding fathers and the men of renown of old. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Here's an article that says a federal judge, California gun law, gun control goes too far. California long has had some of the strongest, toughest gun restrictions in the nation. A few years ago, the state even regulated the color of toy guns. It's constantly in court defending its latest moves, which in one recent legislative session totaled 12 new laws about guns. A section of the California Penal Code that prohibits the display even of handguns and handgun placards may be seen as the may not even be seen outside of a gun store. You hear that? In California, they've passed a law that a gun store cannot even place a placard in the window that depicts a weapon, that pictures a weapon. And the Second Amendment, I'm thankful the Second Amendment Foundation and others are challenged in that law as an infringement on the constitutional rights. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious trouble when we have law after law after law. In fact, right now in the state of Florida, there's a bill, it's about a 25-page bill, that if passed, it's introduced by a Democratic legislator, and if that bill passes, I've read the bill, 25 pages, and if it passes, there's enough loopholes in that bill that when they tweak it for the codification of that bill, if it passes, there will be enough leeway in that bill to literally confiscate all the weapons in the state of Florida. In fact, I find it fascinating and yet sad. Here's an article that says more than 450 in Florida ordered surrender of guns. More than 450 people in Florida have been ordered to surrender their guns months after a new law took place. Passed shortly after the Parkland school shooting in February, the law temporarily strips gun owners of their gun rights and weapons if a judge rules that they are to treat themselves or to hurt themselves or may hurt others. Ladies and gentlemen, that is jumping to the gun, as you would call it. That is a quick step toward gun confiscation. Who's going to make the decision who's sane and who's not? And how does that affect the citizens that have the right to keep and bear arms? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way you can determine a person is going nuts or is going bonkers or is crazy, if you will, before a crime is committed. It's after the crime is committed that you can make that adjudication and that determination. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize and understand it's a constitutional right to bear arms. And when we're asking the court to deprive someone of that right, we need to make sure that we're on good standing ground. And the decision must understand that it must almost have a warrant before that can take place. But there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. There's some good news. We have some legislators in the state of Florida that's introduced some legislation that will allow the arms to be kept and to be able to bear arms. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a little about this bill. Florida bill seeks to repeal post-Parkland gun control measures. A bill filed Monday aims to repeal gun measures that were passed to respond to the school shooting that killed 17 in Parkland, Florida. Listen to this. Representative Mike Hill, a Republican elected last November, filed a bill that would essentially repeal a number of measures passed into the law in March of 2018 as a part of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Public School Safety Act that was passed into law then. House Bill 175, keep that in mind. Pray for this bill to pass. House Bill 175, which would remove mandatory waiting period for purchased firearms other than handguns and provisions which raise the age to purchase a rifle from 18 to 21. It will repeal that bad gun law that was put in as a knee-jerk response after the Stillman Douglas High School shooting. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and the major thing that I'm concerned about, if we allow them to confiscate our weapons, that is the first foremost major step toward socialism and a dictator standing up and taking control of our cities, our states, and our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, keep on praying. Look up, lift up your head, the scripture says, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.